As a general rule, when input VAT is incurred by a taxable person, it is available for credit, which basically means it is included as input VAT on the VAT return for the period in which it arises. It is then deducted from output tax and hence recovered from customs. If the input tax on a VAT return exceeds the output tax, then customs actually make a repayment of the net amount. Now, this lecture is going to look at the conditions which have to be met before input tax is available for credit. The conditions are numerous and can be summarized as follows. First of all, we must have a supply of goods or services being made. This supply must be made to the taxable person, and we need this trader to be a taxable person at the time the supply was made. The supply of goods or services must have been made for a business purpose, and the claimant must hold the required evidence of their purchase. Input tax on the supply must have been correctly charged, and the goods or services being supplied must have a direct and immediate link with the taxable transaction. These are quite a large number of conditions that have to be satisfied, and all of them must be satisfied if input tax is to be recovered. In this lecture, I am going to look at each of these conditions in a little bit more detail. Now, the first condition that we are going to look at is that a supply of goods or services has been made. We need the supply to have actually taken place. If a supply does not take place, for whatever reason, then the VAT element of anything that has been paid is not treated as VAT. It is not input tax, and hence it is not recoverable. It is impossible for there to be input tax in the hands of a customer if there was a failed transaction. If something was paid, well, then it is for the customer to go back to the seller and try to get a refund. A refund cannot be obtained from customs because payment made is not regarded as input tax. Now, a classic example of this is the transfer of a business as a going concern, TOGC, because this is not considered to be a supply for VAT.
Hence, because no supply is being made, if any VAT has been charged in respect of such transactions, it generally cannot be recovered.
The second condition is that the supply has been made to the taxable person. It is not acceptable for a supply to be made to somebody else, but the taxable person recovers the input tax on that supply. There is a classic case that looks at this condition, involving the Redrow Group PLC. Redrow designed and operated a sort of sales incentive scheme, whereby it would pay the estate agency fees incurred by persons purchasing new houses that Redrow had built on the sale of their existing houses. The sum concerned was paid on the completion of the purchase. Redrow claimed to recover the input tax on the estate agent's fee. Customs argued that the estate agent's services were not supplied to Redrow, but rather were supplied to the purchasers of the new house. Now, this case went from tribunal to High Court to Court of Appeal and finally to the House of Lords.
The House of Lords felt that the question in this case was whether there was input tax in Redrow's hands, which, in turn, depended on whether Redrow had received taxable supplies for the purpose of its business.
The House of Lords stated that Redrow did not merely derive a benefit from the services rendered to the purchasers of the houses, but they actually selected and instructed the agents. The court therefore concluded that Redrow received supplies of services from the agent in return for the consideration paid. Consequently, the tax paid was input tax in the hands of Redrow. Strictly, the condition that the supply must have been made to the taxable person means that if any input tax is incurred on employees' expenses, which are then, say, reimbursed, this input tax is irrecoverable. So, if an employee is sent away to work and has to stay in a hotel overnight, and the company reimburses his hotel bill, in the strict reading of the law, input tax on that hotel bill cannot be recovered because the bill is made out to the employee. The employee was provided with the service, not the employer. However, in practice, customs actually give credit in respect of expenses that are specifically reimbursed. Customs do not allow relief for round sum expense allowances, even if the employee accounts for expenditure actually incurred. Similar provisions apply to employee mileage claims. Employees are normally reimbursed by their employer at 40p per mile for each business mile they drive in their own car. The employer can recover 7/47 of the fuel element of such claims. Customs has published an approved list of fuel rates for such claims, and these rates are as per your screen. A fuel invoice must accompany each employee mileage claim. The invoice must predate the business trip and must at least cover the fuel element of the mileage claim.
Let us consider an illustration. Max works for Canmore Limited. On a recent business trip, Max drove 300 miles in his own Mercedes. The Mercedes had a diesel engine with a capacity of 2,800 cc's. In line with company guidelines, he submitted a mileage claim for £120, being 300 miles at 40p per mile. The fuel element of the claim amounts to £48. This is 300 miles at the diesel rate of 16p for this 2,800cc car. The company can recover 7/47 of £48, being £7.15. To support the VAT reclaim, Max must ensure that a fuel receipt for at least £48 accompanies the mileage claim he submitted to his employer. The receipt must predate the business trip and can be a normal retailer's invoice from a garage.
Now, the condition says that the supply must be made to the taxable person who was a taxable person at the time of supply. However, there is an exception to this rule, that the claimant must be a taxable person at the time of the supply, and this is effectively to enable pre-registration input tax to be recovered on a trader's first VAT return. The legislation states that for goods acquired for the business and still owned at the date of registration, regardless of when purchased, and for services supplied for the purpose of the business in the 6 months prior to registration, input tax on both of those items can be recovered on a trader's very first VAT return once he has registered for VAT. In a similar vein, goods and services used for business purposes by a company prior to its incorporation, provided the person who incurred the expenditure becomes an officer or employee and is fully reimbursed by the company for the expenditure, the input tax on those items can be recovered. This is pre-incorporation input tax. Another special rule says that credit for input tax may be available in respect of certain post-deregistration supplies. So where services are supplied after the date of deregistration, but those services relate to taxable supplies that were made when the trader was still VAT registered, well, the input tax on those services is recoverable if a claim is made. The next condition that we are going to look at states that goods and services must be used for business purposes if input tax credit is to be allowed. Now, this is quite a subjective test, and it has given rise to problems and a variety of cases in the past.
The problem is, what is business use? And in the past, this has been interpreted widely as having included buying a racehorse or setting up an employee's pension fund.
If a supply is purchased which is used partly for business purposes and partly for non-business purposes, then the input tax on the supply has to be apportioned, and only the input tax which relates to the business purpose is available for credit. So, for example, you might have to apportion input tax on telephone bills, where the telephone is used both for business and for private use. A major exception to the rule is fuel for private use by employees or partners or owners of the business. Input tax on this fuel is actually recoverable in full, even though it is not used fully for business purposes. What basically happens instead is that there is an output tax charge using the VAT scale charge scenario, which has been covered in a previous lecture. Similarly, there are other special rules on the treatment of mobile phones made available by employers to employees. A business can deduct all the input tax on the initial provision of the mobile phone, providing the payments contain no element for calls which could be used for private purposes, and as long as there will be some business use. There is no need to apportion these initial costs between business and private use. If a business prohibits the private use of the phone, then all the input tax will be deductible. If a business charges the employees for private calls made, then it can deduct all the input tax, but must account for output tax on the charges made. If a business allows the employees to make private calls without charge, it must apportion the input tax on the call charges and only claim the business portion. The apportionment would be under some sort of fair and reasonable system. The next condition is the condition that quite a few traders do not actually satisfy, and hence is quite a popular area for a fishing expedition when customs perform a control visit on a business. This condition states that input tax is available for credit if the required evidence is available. Now, the required evidence takes several forms. The most common form is a tax invoice for the supplies that have been purchased from another taxable person, and a tax invoice has to satisfy certain conditions which are covered in our lecture on VAT records. An invoice is required from a foreign supplier for the services that are received from overseas. These are the sorts of services to which the reverse charge applies. For imported goods, then a certificate C-79, which is issued monthly by customs to all VAT registered importers, will be the necessary evidence required. If goods have been acquired from an EC member state, the necessary evidence is whatever relevant document is normally required in that EC state. Here in the UK, the relevant document is the tax invoice. The relevant document from the EC state should show the claimant and the supplier's VAT numbers, the consideration excluding VAT that was paid for the goods, and a description of the goods. Customs can accept other documentary evidence as the required evidence, but this is at their discretion. There is an exception from the main rule in certain circumstances. A tax invoice is not required as evidence when claiming a credit for input tax if the expenditure was below £25 on telephone calls from public and private phones, purchases through coin-operated machines, car park charges.
Certain sectors' traders will be required to provide a higher standard of proof. Evidence will also be required that the transaction is bona fide before input tax incurred can be recovered.
The rule affects the following sectors: computers and related equipment, telephones and related equipment, alcohol products, and oils held out as road fuel. Right. Time for you to have a go at a question. Credit for input tax is restricted to the amount properly chargeable on a supply. So, if VAT was incorrectly charged on a supply, then that VAT cannot be recovered as input tax, and the classic example, which I gave you earlier, was where a business is transferred as a going concern. This is a supply which is outside the scope of VAT. So it is not a VAT supply.
Hence, if VAT was mistakenly charged on such a supply, it would generally not be possible to recover this VAT as input tax.
You can only recover the correct amount of tax that should have been charged. So, if the tax charged was overstated, the credit for input tax is restricted to the amount that should have been charged. So, input tax can only be recovered at the correct amount on a correct type of supply. The final condition is that the goods or the services purchased must have a direct and immediate link with a taxable transaction. Now, the European Court of Justice's decision in the BLP Group Limited case looked at this condition in some detail. In this case, input tax that was directly linked to making an exempt supply had to be attributed to that exempt supply, and hence was irrecoverable input tax, even though the wider purpose of an exempt share sale was to benefit the rest of a wholly taxable business. So, basically, input tax has to attach to the immediate supply and not to the wider purpose. The European Court of Justice also gave an important ruling on this linking principle in the case involving the Midland Bank. The issue in this case was whether one of the bank's subsidiaries could recover input tax charged on legal services incurred when it was defending itself against a legal action arising from an earlier taxable transaction. Customs did not dispute that the VAT incurred was input tax for the bank, but argued that the bank should treat the input tax as relating to a general overhead, and, hence, there would be some restriction in the input tax recovery because the bank as a whole was partially exempt. The European Court of Justice actually made its judgment in favour of the customs case. VAT paid on legal services supplied to a bank, which was making both taxable and exempt supplies, in connection with a claim for damages arising out of a taxable transaction, did not have the necessary direct and immediate link with that taxable transaction, and hence, input tax could not be recovered in full. To be directly attributable to making a supply, an input has to be a cost component of that supply at the time it is made. I want to finish off by having a look at some of the most common reasons why input tax incurred by a business cannot be recovered. The most common reason why input tax cannot be recovered by a business is because the proper evidence, which in most cases is a valid VAT invoice, is not held by the business. If the supply was made to somebody else, So if our businessman pays someone else's bill, then input tax cannot be recovered. You can only recover your own input tax, not someone else's. Maybe the supplier did not charge VAT at the correct rate, or should not have charged VAT in the first place. So the tax being shown as charged was not charged correctly. That tax, that input tax, cannot be recovered. Maybe the supplier did not go ahead. Now let us say that you have paid a deposit for something, but that something actually never gets made, and is never delivered to you. Now you might have a VAT invoice showing what you have paid, but because the supply never took place, you have not paid valid input tax, and thus you cannot get that input tax back from customs. Your only recourse is to try and get it back from the supplier whom you paid in the first place. If you buy something for private use, you cannot recover the input tax on that item. Only business use is allowed. Then, of course, we have all the input tax on items that are blocked, so things like motor cars and business entertaining. Input tax can never be recovered on these items, even if we do meet all the conditions we have been looking at. So we have got the proper evidence. We have used it for business purposes, etc. You still cannot recover input tax, as it is specifically blocked. Finally, you can only recover input tax if the thing you have purchased, i.e. the input, you then go on to use in making a taxable supply. If you purchase an input which you use to make an exempt supply, you cannot recover that input tax. Input VAT recovery on the cost of services used to make an incidental financial supply to an EU customer may be restricted in certain circumstances. Now it is time for you to have a go at a question. I would like you to fill in the missing words from the 6 conditions that we have had a look at. If you want to see the correct answer, click on the answer button. Good luck. This is the correct answer. Well done. I am really sorry. This is not the correct answer. Let's have a look at the model answer. That is the end of the lecture on input tax, when to recover.